Hey, I know. I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Out of the Drying Pan, a Pokemon the Series podcast, where each week we discuss two episodes of the Pokemon series anime and whatever other random stuff we happen to think about. Just a quick reminder, we are an E for Explicit podcast, so listener discretion is advised. I'm your host, Alex, and I'm joined by my co-host, Austin!
Alex is bringing the energy. She's pretending it's not earlier than we usually record.
It's so early.
10 o'clock. In the morning.
That's not entirely true. Plus, I've been up since 6 something, so.
Doing what?
Waking up, and then I had to do a couple little chores because we'll be busy later this afternoon, and then I had to watch the episodes.
Oh, okay.
It's been very busy.
I don't know why you watched the episodes the day of. I watched them the day before.
Because I have a procrastination problem.
No.
No, not
no,
me.
No.
Plus, you know what? It could be fresh in the mind, which, you know, honestly, it doesn't really make a lot of difference for me because I forget anyway.
That's what the notes are for. So how are you? What's going on? What's the dealio?
Well, my computer is about to launch itself off of the couch and fly into the stratosphere. Not really sure what's going on with that. We had an interesting weekend, and we're going to have another interesting day.
We are only halfway through our interesting weekend.
Sunday, so we had an interesting Friday. You had an interesting yesterday, Saturday, and then we're going to have another interesting Sunday, so.
Yep, it's the return of the Power Rangers convention adventures.
Yeah. Guys.
And we got weekend passes, thanks to some friends.
Yes.
Nothing like a Power Rangers convention.
This one was different. I think maybe we talked about this a couple years ago when we went the first time. It was in a different place downtown. It was in a different hotel. Honestly, I don't know. I guess I kind of preferred the last one. It seemed like it had that right amount of convention jank. This one is too, like, I don't know. What's the word I'm looking for?
I don't like how they're on different floors and the escalators to get to one floor to another are broken.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It feels a lot less centralized.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. The other part of it is I don't like the location that they picked. The hotel that they're in this time is very hard to find when you get off of the train.
No, like, no. The hotel is extremely easy to find. The problem is there was an escalator and there was stairs and an elevator.
Mm.
And you were like, let's take the elevator. And I was like, no, because those are disgusting. Let's take the stairs because it's next to the elevator. And everyone was like, okay, because we went with you, me, and Josh. We went up the stairs, and that's when I realized, oh, shit, we took the wrong way. This isn't the main street. This is a parking garage. Where are we? So we kind of wandered around for a bit, and we found a series of elevators, one of which required a keypad to, or one which required a key card to get up. And we didn't have a key card, because we are not employees of the stadium we were at. And so we had to go all the way back to the train station, go up the escalator. We should have gone up in the first place. And I've gone up this escalator 300 times. And for some reason, I was like, let's just go up the stairs. I'm sure it'll take us to the same location. It did not.
So don't listen to Austin is the moral of the story.
I will say, when I went yesterday and you did not go, Christina showed me that you could have gone the way we did.
Oh, God.
It's just that we... Did we not even try the other elevator?
I don't remember. Honestly, I was, like, blacking out from the
Yeah, you were stressing
heat.
Me out. You were.
I'm sorry. Okay, so I already wasn't feeling great. Let's just preface it by saying that. We ride down there. We get off of the platform. We're walking around. Immediately upon exiting, it was, like, 1,000 degrees, even though we were underground. And Josh and I made, I guess you could call it a mistake, I don't know. My thinking was I don't want to wear shorts on the sticky, disgusting train. And if we're inside the convention center, it'll be cool. Who knows how cool it'll be in there. So I wore jeans. We wore jeans. Austin did not wear jeans. We didn't realize that when we were going on this escapade of trying to find the way into where we needed to go, that we were going to be walking around a concrete jungle area. And so it was literally like over 100 degrees, I'm sure, in there. it was just a miserable time.
Well, ironically, if we had just used that other elevator, it would have taken us right to where we needed to
go. I know. But we literally spent, like, all this time wandering around because the directions were useless. And so when we eventually finally got back there, it was much better once we got there and got inside. But thankfully, Austin had thought ahead and brought a backpack. And so I was able to store my shirt. Well, I had, like, an undershirt, so I took that off and put it in there and then just was able to cool down. So...
Well, we're going to go again today after this recording, like right after this recording.
Yeah, well, we're going to be better prepared for one thing. And we're not staying as long either. We're just going to go. We're going to go to like one thing. There's one panel that we wanted to like take advantage of this weekend pass.
Alex wants to see Jason Narvi in
person. I do. Again, oh, my God.
Who played Skull in the first several seasons of Power Rangers and is Alex's Power Rangers crush.
You want to know? Okay, so here's my ranking, right? It goes... Tommy Oliver, right? Which I feel like, okay, let's not count him.
Are we doing characters or actors? Like, what's going on?
Oh, characters, I guess.
Okay, okay.
Tommy Oliver, and then you've got Billy, obviously, Blue Ranger, uh-huh. And then Skull. So, those are the top three people for me. I guess, like, actors, I can't really say my favorite actor. Like, I don't want to conflate the characters with the actors. That's not right.
No, they're different.
It's completely different. But I will say from a physical perspective, I know this is going to sound crazy, and I'm not one of those people. I'm just going to preface, I'm not one of those people. But, I mean, Jason Narvi is cute, so. Saw Walter Jones there again. That was really fun.
We're not the ones going in line and paying them, like, $90 to get their autograph. It's just kind of funny to see them on panels and stuff.
I'm not one of those people. And you know what? If you are somebody who enjoys that kind of thing, more power to you.
We just don't have the money.
Well, that. But I also don't think I would, even if I did. They just played a character on a show 30 years ago. Like, for me, it's like I don't have any desire whatsoever to get, like, the merchandise or the photo op or the signatures or anything like that. Like, I just think it's cool, like, when you watch the show from 30 years ago, and you're like, oh my god, there's so-and-so who played that character. That's funny. Okay, so enough about Power Rangers. You guys are not here for Power Rangers. You're here for Pokemon.
And I got a listener feedback comment, actually.
Share it with us.
This is from Pokemon Megastar, who last week gave us the LVP, remember? For Simping for Sailors.
Oh.
And Pokemon Megastar says, I'm just teasing you. You're not wrong about Briny's younger look. We know you're teasing us. And oh, we're teasing you.
Everybody knows Austin has a thing for Sailor Man because
he wrote
the fan fiction about Ash and the Sailor. So just putting that out there.
Which went in a way you probably weren't expecting it to, actually.
No, it wasn't as salacious as I thought, but whatever.
Anyway, yeah. We know you're teasing. We're teasing you. I'm with Austin. I get seasick like crazy. I'd rather just get it done. Yeah, for real. Get the fuck off the boat. So we had a complaint about Taylor seeming to manifest out of nowhere, but it seems we missed something because Taylor was attacking the Sharpedo and then went to help Pico.
Oh, we messed up? That's not surprising.
Yeah. Not at all.
We have really super high production value here out of the drying pan.
Overall, an okay episode, but Brock was the best here. Oh yes, Richie. This guy. I see it that Oak is going to use Richie just like Richie will use them. But yeah, the whole episode was not so good character-wise, but it was funny. I got Pokerust in my Nuzlocke of Soul Silver, but it was the one I lost. That's sad. RIP to your Pokerust-infested Pokemon.
Ooh, a Nuzlocke. I'm so interested when people say they do Nuzlockes. I always have wanted to do one in theory, but then I'm too much of like a control freak with my games that I can't ever play like that. But I do think that if we did it together as a group, like if we did a Twitch stream that we talk about doing, I think I could do it because there's no like personal stake. It's not like my own personal playthrough, right? It's like for the pod. So I think I could do it.
Don't let your dreams be dreams. I'm not stopping you.
I know. I dream about it sometimes. I'm like, oh, wouldn't it be fun?
Several years of saying you're going to do it.
Stream on Twitch. I know. But I'm scared, okay? You want the real reason? I'm kind of scared. What if you guys don't like the way I play games?
Well, then we'll just stop.
Maybe I shouldn't really care about what people think. If they like me, they like me. If not, oh well.
People aren't here for good quality content. They're here for lols.
You like me. You really like me. I know that's not what she said, but still.
So I got a question for you two. If you had your own gym, what type would it be and what region? And what would your team of six be for said gym? Only rule is no legendaries.
Okay, so I'm really glad that... Okay, so I fell asleep on the couch last night, Sorry, apologies. I didn't see Austin's text.
Apologies for falling asleep on the couch?
Well, to you, because I didn't see your text last night when you sent me a text at almost 1 a.m, so I guess maybe that's your fault.
I'm a night owl. I don't care.
I know. Well, I fell asleep and I didn't see my homework assignment, but I'm glad I checked my phone this morning before I started watching, before we started recording, because I actually was able to do research on this assignment, so now Ooh. I'm prepared.
Okay, I got a guess for you.
Oh, you're going to guess?
Yeah.
Ooh, can I guess for you too? Oh, yes. That's so fun. Okay.
My guess for you, I have two guesses, either ghost or steel.
Oh my God, how did you know?
Yay! I did it.
Okay, but you picked one or the other.
I think ultimately you're going to go with steel.
Yes! Oh my gosh. Yeah. How did you know?
Because you're a simp for Stephen Stone?
I am a simp for Stephen Stone, but also I think I've not ever really made any bones about the fact that my top three types are steel, fairy, and ghost, so.
Okay. So what's your team looking like? And what region are you in?
I thought about this a lot. Honestly, like, steel's great because a couple of my favorite Pokemon, like, there's some crossover typage. So I picked for my team Aeron, Honedge, Klefki, Magnemite, Alola Sandshrew, and Shieldon.
You got a bunch of little ones.
I know. I wanted the little cute ones.
You were an early gym.
Yeah, I know. Well, I thought about it, like, practically. Like, here's my thinking. I'm like, okay, if I really was, like, a Pokemon trainer, I don't think I'd want to be dealing with, like, an Aggron or, like, a Bastiodon. I think I want the small, manageable ones. Plus, they're cute. And I also picked, like, Honedge and Klefki because there's some ghost and fairy in there. So, covers everything I like.
That's true. You got the whole gamut.
I guess as far as my region, I thought about this. Okay, as much as I love Hoenn, I don't think I'd want to have a gym in Hoenn. Honestly, I think I'd go with Kalos. Kalos is one of my favorite regions. But yeah, no, those are my choices. I thought it was a good team.
Have you ever been to France?
I have not been to France.
Okay, I feel like I knew that.
My grandparents have been to France.
Oh, I want to go to France.
They went to Paris.
I don't speak any French whatsoever. I learned about that numbering system, and I was like, ooh, fuck that.
Ooh, I'm so bad at languages. I really try. French was not one that I took in college.
I did, and it was a mistake.
Ugh. No, wait, no. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I think I took one semester of French, and I was like, I cannot. I'm so sorry. I can't do this.
Was it the numbers? Was it the 20s?
It was everything. Languages have never made sense for my brain. I'm sorry.
Not even Spanish?
A little Spanish when I was younger. And I was really good at Latin, if you can count that. Like, I actually really was good at Latin. I could read it and everything, but I've lost everything now. But yeah, no, that's my choices. Can I guess for you?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to get this so wrong because I feel like you know me better than I know you.
That's because I'm a very guarded person.
I know. Austin doesn't share. He's not a sharer. Okay, your type. I feel like I want to say, like, ground. I don't know.
What else do you want to say?
That's completely wrong. Okay, I can tell. Gosh, your favorite type? Have we ever even talked about this? I feel like, how long have we been friends and Pokemon fans?
Okay, do you want me to go through my thought process or just give my answer?
No, I want to be able to, like, try to guess.
Okay.
So maybe, like, give me a hint.
It's not something you would expect.
Not something I would expect? Is it, like, one of the weirder ones or is it a more common one?
Weirder.
Dragon?
Nope.
Okay, a little too weird. Oh my gosh, ice?
Nope.
Okay, I'm so bad. Ugh. It's not bug. Not bug.
It is not bug. I cannot handle the bug type. Ooh.
Electric. Boogie woogie no. woogie. Shit. Okay. I'm like,
give up yet?
Zero for however many I've guessed. No, I want to guess. What other types are there? Dark?
No.
Give me a hint.
This is boring audio. We're moving on.
Okay. I'm sorry. I don't know Austin. I'm a bad friend.
Well, first, my first thought was grass type, because I've always wanted to be more green thummy, but as we all know, I cannot touch plant life without it dying. In fact, there's a dead plant right next to me right now.
See, that's why I didn't pick grass, because I was like, Austin, plants and Austin don't go together.
No, they don't. Sorry. I try. I'm just really bad at it. Okay. So I ultimately decided on what might be a bit more surprising, which is fairy type.
No way. Fairy type.
Yes, fairy type.
Oh, I thought about fairy type, but then I was like, nah.
Okay, there's a lot of baggage going on with the fairy type.
Okay.
I think there need to be more male fairy type trainers, so I will volunteer as tribute.
That's a good point.
Second of all, I kind of like the fairy type that's more, like, actual fae, like the more scary kind of fairy types.
Oh, yeah.
Because I feel like all the fairy-type trainers we've had so far, they're all, like, you know, the cute pink ones.
So, like, Impidimp or something.
Actually, no.
Really? Okay.
What happened was the Pokemon I chose didn't fall into that theme, but that's kind of what I wanted to go for. But I ended up failing at it.
Maybe the next gen that we have, they'll introduce some more, like, trickster fae-type Pokemon. I really hope they do.
And my third thing was, it's Pride Month, and one might call me a fairy.
Okay.
And so I'm like, you know what? I'm going to take that pejorative and reclaim it.
Well, I guess I should have guessed better.
My theme is, we're not celebrating Pride Month this year. We're celebrating Wrath.
Wrath?
You haven't heard of that joke before?
No.
We're under attack. We gotta.
Oh, is this like a Seven Deadly Sins joke?
Yes.
Oh, I get it. Okay.
Okay, and I'm going to assume this is my team if I were to go and battle with an Elite Four person. Because I have other smaller fairy types available for beginning trainers, just FYI.
I thought we were picking like we were a gym leader.
Oh, no. I am a gym leader, but this is like my A team.
Oh, okay. See, I love how we had two different approaches to this. Like me, I'm like, oh, I want to go with the base forms, like the cute ones to start out with or whatever.
Not me.
Austin's like, no, unlimited power.
I'll also dress like Sheev Palpatine, the Emperor. My first Pokemon is Togekiss.
Okay.
Galarian Weezing.
Oh my god, okay. I also made up a fairy team too, in case I picked that over Steel, and Galarian Weezing was on my team.
Klefki.
Oh, Klefki's on mine, yay.
I'm picking the best ones. Mimikyu.
Oh, Mimikyu, okay.
Mimikyu is a good one. That's a more scary one.
Yeah.
Alcremie.
No, why?
Because if I ever go to Galar, I love its Gigantamax form. That's why.
It's a big cake.
Yep. And, okay, this might surprise you.
I think I'm going to be surprised.
So, I am in the Unova region because I've always wanted to go to New York.
New York, New York.
I've never been. Can you believe it?
Every time you say that, it's still as surprising as, like, the first time I've ever heard it. Because I feel like you've been, and I can't reconcile that in my head.
Nope, I've just read a lot of Spider-Man comics.
Okay.
So I'm gonna pick Machamp.
What?
But it's a Terra type fairy Machamp, and I'm gonna go to the Blueberry Academy where they got them Terra crystals, and I'm gonna have that Machamp be a fairy Machamp because I think that's funny.
That is a really creative answer, and I kind of feel like a little bit cheating, but I'll allow it.
It's not cheating because the Paldea gym leaders all have Pokemon that are not their type.
But they terastalize.
And Blueberry Academy is off the coast of Unova. Therefore, I'm within my parameters.
Okay, fine. He's bending the rules a little, but all right. That A for creativity. There you go.
Oh, Alex does not like my answer.
No, I mean, it's fine. It's not my answer. It's your answer. You can do whatever you want.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I was just thinking about how Machamp was a ride Pokemon in like Alola, and the way you ride around on it is it carries you like bridal style in its arms.
Now imagine that's Mr. Briny carrying you bridal style.
Ooh. Young Mr. Briny. Young Briny, not old Briny. Briny before the Pico incident.
Here is Pokemon Megastars MVP Zone Piece. For the Sharpedo episode, Team Rocket, and for the second episode, Satomi Kurogi, who is the voice actor for Sparky and Togepi.
Okay.
That's interesting. Sparky didn't really do too much.
Sparky showed up and Tracy was like, what are you doing here? Get the hell out.
And LVP is Richie for obvious reasons. Well, yeah.
Obvious. Actually, I don't know, though, because Richie kind of, like, did some shit last episode, and can we really blame him entirely?
But Richie also wants to wear Ash's clothes.
He does want to, like, wear his skin as, like, an outfit. That is true.
Anything to get him out of that stupid green outfit he's got.
You know, it's been so long, and he couldn't have updated his wardrobe at all.
That's the problem when Ash and Brock change their clothes. It's, like, weird when everyone else doesn't also change their clothes along with them.
I know.
And it's like, oh, that's so last season.
All right, Austin. Well, that was fun. Any other feedback to share?
Nope.
All right. Well, with that being said, I think we can move right into our episodes this week. We have...
Let's surf into our episodes.
Oh, man. That was so obvious. Thank you. We'll be right back. We're going to brave the episodes and talk about Brave the Wave and which Wurmple's which.
Let's find out which Wurmple is which indeed. Who's doing what? Flip, you're doing the 30 seconds for the Brawly episode, and okay. I'm doing the whole thing.
This
Are
is
you
fine.
Upset?
I'm fine.
Are you upset with that?
No, I'm actually not. I like the Wurmple one.
Okay, great.
Although I have a lot to say for both. I have literally a page each of notes for each
episode. I have next to nothing about to say about the Brawly episode.
Really?
Yeah, not really.
I thought you would have had a lot to say about the Brawly episode.
Well, get ready to say a lot in 30 seconds. In 3, 2, 1, go.
It's the ass crack of dawn, and Ash is like, I'm ready. And so we go to the gym. But Brawly, the gym leader, is like a totally tubular, radical surfer guy. And he's like, I don't have time for a battle. I gotta surf the wave. So Ash has a little hissy fit. Finally, he annoys Brawly enough to be like, oh my god, battle with me. But he doesn't do a good job because he's very forceful and basically knocks his own Pokemon out because he's stupid. And Ash loses and he doesn't apologize and he sucks
time.
This episode. So, yep.
All right, this is the obligatory Ash is an asshole episode that we get every so often.
Oh, we were overdue for an asshole Ash episode. Mm-hmm. An ash-hole episode, if you will.
It is gym challenge time, and it is so early that and Ash is leaving the Pokemon Center at the ash crack of dawn, one might say. May is like Alex, and she's like, I don't want to wake up. And she's holding her pillow that she's going to steal from the Pokemon Center. LOL.
You know what? May is so relatable. I'm so glad we have her because she's like the normal person in the group who's not an obvious anime character. She's like, I'm tired and I just want to like rest. And who wants to like walk through the woods for 500 hours? And I want to go to the beach and like live a little bit. Like she's the normal person. And I love that for her.
So Ash screams out, look, it's Dewford Town as they approach Dewford Gym.
Huh. I missed that.
They've already been in Dewford Town, but okay.
Well, maybe it's like a switch where we thought we were in Rustboro, but we were like 500 miles away from it, even though we were in it.
God, we were in and out of those woods so many times. It was so annoying.
Not anymore. We're on the beach.
We get to the gym and there's a big ol' Machop and Machoke golden insignia that says, fight the big wave. And Brock's like, oh no, not a fighting type gym. It's going to be some big, rippling muscle, super steroid dude. Like Chuck. Remember Chuck? Oh.
Like Chuck. I think Chuck's wife might disagree with that analysis, but
I don't even remember Brock in that episode.
I don't even remember him doing anything either, but I do remember Chuck being, like, abused verbally by his wife, and
that I definitely remember.
That was about it.
There were a bunch of children.
Was that the same episode that, like, Team Rocket was forced into, like, indentured servitude?
Yes, by Mrs. Chuck.
By Mrs. Chuck. Okay. God, it seemed like forever ago.
Well, whereas Chuck might be packing a few pounds, we are introduced to Brawly, the gym leader of this gym.
Ooh.
It turns out he's more of a slim surfer type. He is going to not be the gym leader today because there's some really choice waves, dude. And he has a bunch of surfer lingo and talks in a really obnoxious surfer accent.
What's a surfer accent?
You know, like that SoCal.
Totally tubular.
And I hated Brawly immensely, immediately. And I hated his stupid hair that went everywhere.
You don't like his hair?
No, I did not like his hair. It didn't even look like surfer hair. It was like someone had fried his ends.
Okay, I'm surprised that he didn't have like the quintessential 90s hair with the frosted tips. Like that would be so much better.
That would have made more sense. Because they went with him being full on surfer dude.
Yeah.
That's what the characterization was here.
That's his aesthetic. Yes.
Yes. Do we like his voice? Because I did not.
I guess I can't really complain if that's what they're leaning into. Like, he's the stereotypical, you know, 90s SoCal surfer guy, like, radical, you know, kind of thing. Like, okay, yeah, that's exactly what he is. You can't fault him for that.
Okay. What do you think of his outfit?
I'm trying to remember what he was wearing, like a t-shirt and board shorts, like.
Yeah, all that orange.
Don't you have to be, like, bright colors in the water, though?
I guess.
Like, if
you're. I think I would have liked him more if it was more stoner humor. If he had more of a,
oh.
like, if they were going for that
sure.
angle, but they weren't. There was no stoner lit to his voice at all.
No, he was just your dude bro from the beach.
So instead, what they have is, Brawly has about 30, like, athletic surfer girls, all around him, and they're all like, oh, Brawly's so hot. So Brawly has to take today off because there's some really nice waves today. And he also has to fuck every single one of these girls before the sun sets.
Yeah, you gotta say it right. It's totally radical, wicked wavage.
Totally tubular. I did not write down any of his surfer dialogue because it annoyed the hell out of me.
Are we really gonna fault this guy? He's in the prime of his life. He's got a harem of beach girls.
Every girl on the island.
He's just doing his thing, living his best life.
I'm like Ash. I'm like, this guy annoys the hell out of me.
I don't know. I'm kind of like May, honestly. I'm like, May, she's like, he deserves to like live his life. And I'm like, I kind of agree.
Here's the thing is I'm with Ash and that Brawly annoys me personally. I do think Brawly is owed vacation days.
Yes. He's not like chained to the gym.
Presumably it's like a Saturday or a Sunday or something. He has to have days off. If he says, Ash, you have to wait till the next episode because the first episode we do a filler plot and the second episode we do the gym battle. Ash should understand that. He should be used to this by now.
Very true.
But that's not the way things go because Ash is in a mood today and he's like, I hate this guy. I want to battle. And at first it's kind of funny because we follow him to the beach and Brawly is surfing with his Makuhita, who has its own surfboard.
How do we feel about Makuhita?
Makuhita is an odd one.
It is.
Is it a sandbag? Is that what it is?
Is that what it is?
Is that? I don't know.
I've never made that connection aesthetically in my head, but maybe.
I don't know what Hirayama's supposed to be.
Hirayama's like a sumo type of thing, right?
I don't know. I don't care what BDS say. I don't care enough about Makuhita and Hirayama.
A sandbag.
I don't care.
Oh, I'm sitting here like trying to look it up and Austin's like, I don't care.
No.
Okay, fine. I won't do the due diligence and research it.
Fine. Go on the biology section of Wikipedia. I know you're gonna...
It's an innate drive if I don't do it. Okay, you are right. It says, on the top of its head is a knot, which causes it to resemble a punching bag.
I was right!
I never thought about it as, like, a punching bag. That's so crazy.
Well, how much have you thought about Makuhita before?
None. Not at all. Also, I was right. Hirayama is a sumo wrestler. Okay, whatever.
Did you ever think that Makuhita looks oddly close to Pikachu?
With its face?
With its, like, color scheme, and it has the red cheeks?
No. I'm just gonna say okay, no.
That's just me. No. That's just a me thing. Just okay, you, yes. Great. Anyway, Ash does not respect Makuhita and Brawly, and they are going to go surfing, and Ash is like, I'll body surf my way over there. So he does, and this leads to disaster, as Makuhita is having like a Baywatch moment, dead on the beach, and Brawly's like, Makuhita, speak to me! And I thought he was going to give it CPR, but that didn't happen. It just kind of wakes up.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, Ash has completed his evolution into a crab, and he is... burrowing through the sand on the beach before he pops up.
And
he...
fuck?
See, this was fun. I like this Ash. This is funny.
Okay, the insufferable whininess aside, like him being like completely insistent on like, hey, battle me. And Brawly's like, go away, little kid. Like, I'm off today. And he's like following him and causing almost like a bad injury because he interrupts their surfing and causes them to fall. How did he end up under the sand? Like, that's my question. How did he become a Diglett?
We are following Wacky Hijinks rules. Oh, okay. So that means physics don't necessarily exist like we expect them to.
Okay.
Also, he's on a beach, so he'd be a Wigglet.
Oh, a Wigglet. Oh my God, I love Wigglet. I keep forgetting about Wigglet.
Meanwhile, Team Rocket's working in a beach restaurant. Boring, who cares? May decides that this is a nude beach, and she rips off all her clothes to Max's abject horror. But plot twist, she's wearing her two-piece swimsuit as underwear. Ha-ha.
It's getting hot in here, so take off all your clothes. I'm sorry, if you've ever been, like, a little kid who's been to, like, summer camp or going to the beach with your family or whatever, wearing a swimsuit under your clothing is probably one of the worst sensations of all time. Just saying.
Yeah, May is going through like a weird swimsuit era right now. She's like every episode is like swimsuits. And we haven't been mentioning it because it's a little odd.
I mean, she's in her hot girl summer phase.
I guess she's 10 years old.
I guess.
They sure are treating her like she's not 10 years old.
We've talked about this extensively.
I think we could talk about it a lot more, but we're not going to.
Let's just gloss on by that.
Okay. I want to know who's making this, and it's like, ooh, we're going to make the girl hot. Our child audience will really appreciate that.
I think this is honestly, yeah. I'm thinking about other anime, and to be fair, okay, Pokemon, they're quite young. Although, in my own mind, considering the fact that we've been following Pokemon for 25 years, they're not like 10 in my head in that sense. Honestly, they're really just ageless. I don't think about it at all, but I guess in other anime, when they're older, like the beach and like the beach vacation is always a thing in like the shoujo anime type of thing. Like I'm thinking of like Oren High School Host Club, they go to the beach. I'm thinking of Fruits Basket, they go to the beach. There's always a big deal about the girls going to buy their swimsuits because the boys get to see them in their little cute swimsuits.
I'll never understand, as much as we joke, I'll never understand the sexual attraction to anime characters don't look realistic enough for me to understand, you know what I mean?
Okay, like, can we, I just feel like I want to put a disclaimer out there. Like, every time we joke around, like, sexualizing or making us like a sexy joke or whatever, we completely understand that these are characters. We're not being serious. We're just making fun, so.
I love how we have to take the fun out of everything. I know. We're like, ugh, qualifier, qualifier, qualifier.
Let's just okay, so move on.
Main a swimsuit aside. So, Team Rocket attacks. It's really boring. I did not take hardly any notes on this. But regardless, the end result is Ash blasts off Team Rocket, and Brawly's so impressed with this because he doesn't know this happens literally every day because Ash has, like, a lot of weird shit happening around him at all times. And Brawly's like, I'm so impressed by the way that you beat those people up that I'm going to take my vacation day and get rid of it because I'm going to take you back to the gym because you won't leave me the fuck alone. Dude. And they go to the gym. Max and Brock are really worried. And they say, you should use a flying type. And Ash is like, yeah, no shit. This is going to be super easy. How hard can it be to beat this surfer dude, bro? And you know what's going to happen after that point. It's like, why are we even watching the episode? Why are we even still going with this?
You know what? You just know. And of course, obviously, the formula is quite consistent at this point, but you know when they start phoning it in as far as like Ash being like, this is gonna be easy, it's so easy, hey guys, did I mention how easy it's gonna be? You know it's not gonna be easy.
So Taylor does like a million wing attacks versus Brawly's Machop, but Machop is kind of rolling with the hits as if it's on a surfboard. Oh my god, surprise, surprise. The surfing was actually training the whole time. Ah, who would have thought that a sport that requires a lot of athleticism and balance would be good for physical training? Oh my god.
Ash doesn't know the meaning of the word, so.
Apparently not. Machop is using its surfing abilities to roll with Talo's hits, and then eventually is able to catch Talo mid-quick attack and one-hit KO it. Whoops.
I'm sorry, this whole time I was thinking of, I wish that somebody had mentioned Puka and that other guy. Puka.
Oh, the Pikachu? Oh.
What's the guy? I can never remember his name. Oh my gosh.
Victor?
Victor? Was it Victor?
And his idol was Jan?
Jan. Yes, Jan. Who?
Oh, is this right? Am I correct? Is this
I'm pretty coming sure. back to me? Oh my god, okay, I'm looking okay. it up. Puka is 20 years old at least, okay, according to the article. Yeah, Victor, Humunga Dunga, and Jan, who, like, surfed away into the sunset, never to be seen again.
And died.
Guys, you remember Humunga Dunga? I'm sorry, I was having a nostalgic moment.
That was a weird-ass episode. That was a strange one.
I am so mad now that I'm thinking about it. Brawly should have mentioned Humunga Dunga or something. Be like, legend has it that there was an awesome wave in Kanto, bros.
It only happens once every 20 years.
I know, but it's
like, And it just happened recently-ish.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. Time. Anyway.
Unnecessary continuity with the first season aside. Taylor's out, so Trico comes out, and Trico does a bunch of pounds. It's like pound, 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 pound.
Pound town.
Yeah, Trico has to take a little rest and get some water, and, you know, it's not always going to happen in the first go around, you know. Mm-mm. Trico is exhausted, but eventually wears down Machop.
Exhausted from all that pounding.
Exhausted from all that pounding and from the fact that Trico only knows two low-level, normal-type offensive moves and has a terrible moveset.
Pathetic, as Paul would say.
I think some training is due for this one. Maybe they can go surfing. I don't know. But eventually, Machop is out, and so we send out the beautiful, lovely Makuhita, who we both love so much.
Gross.
Makuhita should win pretty quickly with a vital throw and an arm thrust. But Trico's still hanging in there.
What the hell is this shit?
Whoa.
I'm sorry.
Whoa, Trico, you're a badass. Let's keep going.
This was completely unrealistic, and Ash was being a bad trainer. It takes a vital throw and an arm thrust, and it's like in the red for sure.
But it hung in there because it loves you, or whatever that bullshit is in the more recent generations.
Oh, yeah.
But then it gets even wilder because Makuhita does a seismic toss, which, as we know from Charizard, almost always results in a victory. But guess what? Trico's still standing.
Is this like one of those anime moments where it's like the two combatants like jump up in the air and then like slice each other, and then it's like they're standing there on the opposite sides of the arena, and it's basically like the one guy's dead on his feet, but he has like one more move in him, but he's like already dead.
I like when that happened, and then they like their body has been cut in half.
Yeah.
At like an impossible angle. And then slowly, like, the animation makes, like, a cut.
God, okay.
Oh, silly. But no, it's not like that, because Trico's, like, barely clinging to life, and Makuhita's totally fine. And Trico's really not doing much of anything, but not falling over. So, surprise, Makuhita evolves into Hariyama in the middle of the episode, because I guess everyone else was just as sick of looking at Makuhita's ugly face as we were. And instead, it's time to look at Hariyama's ugly face.
Do we get a Hariyama specific episode later, or is this like it?
Well, I think we gotta come back to Brawly at some point, don't you?
Well, I'm just wondering if they're just like, okay, we just need to get it out of the way, like all of this right now, and not worry about Hariyama or Makuhita anywhere else in this. So let's just,
don't worry, we're gonna see Hariyama again. Don't worry about it.
Never mind.
Now Hariyama uses its fourth attack, which is knockoff, and by the grace of God, Trico finally goes down. After he should have gone down like 5 minutes ago. Ash loses. Oh my god, who would have thought that hubris would be the recipe to Ash's losing and not taking things seriously and being a cocky little shit would lead to a moral lesson.
Does he learn anything though? Because...
Not really. Because we go to the Pokemon Center and Nurse Joy subtly says, Ash, you're horrible at this. You abused your Trico and it disgusts me. All the twerps are like, that's okay, Ash. We're going to give you a little pep talk. It'll be fine. And Ash says, shut up! And he runs out the door.
Okay, pump the brakes. I feel like we need to talk about this.
Okay, go for it.
I mean, this is...
Shut up.
Shut up. I know. He was so rude and mean to his friends. Like, of course, Ash is in the wrong entirely here. He was pushing his Pokemon too hard. I feel like we should have learned this lesson a long time ago. I feel like we've had enough personal growth moments throughout the anime up to this point to where Ash knows better. So he gets scolded by Joy, and she's like, you pushed your Pokemon too hard. You're a bad trainer. And Brock can't deal with this hissy fit that Ash is having anymore. He's like completely delulu and thinks that they were so close. Like, doesn't he say that? He's like, we were so close. I'm like, brother, you weren't close at all.
Denial.
Yeah, it was complete denial. And so Brock was like, Ash, calm down. Like, you're just getting out of control. And then he screams at Brock, like, shut up, and then runs out. And then later, I know we'll get there, but, like, he doesn't apologize. He never apologizes for that.
He did nothing wrong.
I hate it.
What he does is he goes for a walk on the beach, and he's a bit more contemplative there. And then he finds Brawly and Hariyama relearning how to surf, because Hariyama now is, like, four times bigger. And Ash realizes, oh, my God. Brawly was training the whole time while surfing. With that, Brock, May, and Max run up, because heaven forbid a twerp be them by themselves for more than 5 seconds. Ash does not apologize. After a quick talk with Brawly, he says, hey, can we spend the next several episodes here on Dewford Island? Because we came to this gym way too quickly after the last gym, and we gotta spread this out for 4 years. So we gotta stay here for a while. And we can learn in nature. And they're all like, sounds great to us. And the episode ends.
I just also want to point out Ash's narcissistic cop-out answer that he gives. It's not an apology. I'm not going to say that. But he basically says...
He does not apologize.
He doesn't say sorry to them. He says the way a narcissist would. He says, I'm sorry about all of this. a way to, if you know a narcissist in your life, you know that they're incapable of apologizing and taking personal accountability.
Never admit wrongdoing unless it's part of a larger plan to manipulate you.
Well, this is absolutely manipulation because he doesn't apologize for his own personal actions. He just says, sorry about the nebulous this, whatever this is. And I'm like, Ash, I'm very disappointed in you.
I think maybe this is spending a bunch of time on Duford Island.
Okay. But again, not an apology. And honestly, like, they were the ones that didn't want to rush into doing anything anyway. So I feel like him saying sorry about, like, staying here on the island where we can just, like, hang around at the beach. I feel like there's a manipulation angle there because they were the ones that didn't want to rush into training anyway or, like, going to the gym. They wanted to, like, hang out. Again, he's manipulating them for them to be the ones to say, oh, no big deal, Ash. Don't worry about it. It's not your fault. We'll stay on the island for you and train, blah, blah. I'm like, guys, you wanted to stay here in the first place. Like, this is not Ash's original idea. It was yours.
I wonder who our LVP is going to be.
I wonder.
Let's flip the coin.
God, who could it be?
Ooh, it's me first.
Damn it.
I get Ash for LVP.
Well, that's okay. He still gets it, which, you know, by the last tally, was he was my ultimate LVP, so.
I'm going to give him LVP because it's very much deserved.
Yep.
Pokemon Megastar is the one who said that he seemed like he was getting a little cocky in the Roxanne episode. Which, I'll believe it, sure. I'll pretend there's continuity of characterization here.
He deserves to get knocked down a peg or two.
Mm-hmm. I kind of wish he was still riding the high horse of beating Gary and all that. I wish it was an outgrowth of that.
You're talking about the Pokemon anime, though. That was like a lifetime ago. There's no way they would reference that.
And also, the fact that May and Max were so impressed with him beating Roxanne. Maybe that could have been a more direct lineage.
Him gloating and then he actually gets humbled by this, sure.
Well, maybe it could be as simple as, well, like, I've done this a couple times now. Like, this is my third go-around, essentially.
Yeah.
So, like, I know what I'm doing, and who gives a shit about the second gym leader of the region? Like, who cares?
Well, serves him right for being overconfident and cocksure, but whatever.
Cocksure asked, Ash gets LVP. God damn it. My MVP. Ooh, that's a tough one. Should I give it to Trico?
It's your MVP. I gotta think of mine now that you've took the one I was gonna do.
Oh, you're gonna do Trico? I'll let you
have Trico. No, I wasn't gonna do Trico. I'm just thinking in general.
I guess I'll give my MVP to Brawly's Hariyama for evolving.
I thought you were gonna say Brawly's hair.
No, that's the ultimate LVP.
I was like, wait, what? Okay.
Nope. My quote, it's gonna be because of Eric Stewart's delivery of this line, and I can't replicate it, but Brock saying, remember Chuck from the Cianwood Gym? Ooh, eesh. Like, Brock, what the fuck are you even talking about?
Brock clearly has some repressed memories he's dealing with in that moment.
So. I don't know what's going on. You'd think he'd bring up Bruno, who was like his idol that one time.
We don't talk about Bruno. Okay.
No, apparently we don't. Okay.
I don't even know if I had the right, like, jingle for that. I never saw that movie.
We don't talk about Bruno. Okay, no, thank you. No. Ooh, that was out of tune as shit.
No,
okay,
no,
your turn.
Okay. Great choices, Austin.
Have you ever seen Encanto yet?
No.
Okay.
I haven't.
It's pretty good.
Okay. I'll take your word for it. I haven't seen some of the newer movies. Let's see. In the meantime, let's think about this. My MVP. I guess I'm going to give it to May, I guess. Just because.
Yeah, that was a good one.
I mean, just because, like, she's more leisurely in her approach to stuff, which, honestly, I think Ash could learn a lesson or two from her. She's just like, why are we in such a rush, for one thing? And also, Brawly's a human being who deserves time off. He gets PTO like the rest of the gym leaders, I'm assuming. He can take a day to do some training / leisure surfing, whatever.
And nail his harem.
Yeah. So, May understands what it's like to be human and not a crazed, you know, gym battle rabid robot like Ash.
Well, you say that as if this exact plot line is not going to happen to her later.
I know,
on.
Like, but in the
it's a standard.
Okay, in the moment, we can only operate on what we have seen, and that is what I'm operating on. So, my LVP. You know what? I'm just going to give it to Makuhita and Hariyama. I don't like them. I think they look weird.
No, they're a miss.
They're not good. And also, now I can't unsee. Like, I can't believe I never made the connection that it looks like a freaking sandbag. And it looks like a sandbag. Like, its head is a punching bag. Like, literally, what?
Don't you want to pick it up by the head and carry it around?
It looks like a potato sack or something. I don't know. It's just, it's not a good design, in my opinion, okay? In my own personal opinion. All right, my quote is, I have two. Can I just read both?
Go for it.
I'm going to give it to Brock when he's overcome by the beautiful harem of surfer chicks. And Brock says, maybe when you're finished surfing, you can come ride the waves of love with me.
I missed that.
You missed that. Oh, my.
I missed that one.
Oh, my. It was a little spicy. And then my honorary quote is the motto that Jesse and James did when they're working in, like, the surf shack or whatever. They say, prepare for trouble. You want fries with that? Double delish with half the fat. To protect the world from unhealthy food. To give great service and never be rude. To denounce the evils of high carbohydrates. To extend our reach to the earth and its primates. Jesse, James.
That was, I know. That was an odd one specifically.
Well, what the hell rhymes with carbohydrates, honestly?
Nothing.
Jesse, James, Team Rocket gives great service at the speed of light. Pay your bill and leave a tip or prepare to fight. I thought it was ironic considering they're probably serving like burgers and shakes and stuff, which not healthy.
Mm.
Anyway, that's it for me.
All right, next episode, which Wurmple's which?
The Wurmple episode.
Would you love me if I was a Wurmple that wasn't your Wurmple?
Pass.
Oh, okay.
I know you would say no. You would not love me if I was a Wurmple.
No. A Wurmple is not able to consent.
No, it's not. Okay, so are you ready to Wurmple?
Yeah, let's Wurmple it up.
Okay. In 3, 2, 1, go.
Oh my god, I'm suffering to yawn. Oh, okay. So the twerps go fishing at James's prodding, and we find some interesting Pokemon that they fish up, like an Octillery that assaults Max, and a Corphish!
Oh my god.
But it's not that Corphish. It's not Corphish. But the main thrust of the episode is May and Jesse get their Wurmples mixed up, and Jesse's like, oh, it's my beautiful little Wurmple. And May's like, this is not my Wurmple, motherfucker. And so they trade back Wurmples and get into a battle.
Time to Wurmple. Okay. So honestly, to your point, the main crux of this episode doesn't even happen until pretty late into it, which I thought was like kind of odd pacing wise.
It wasn't a very centralized episode around one plot line. It was kind of random stuff.
Have we ever, like, I'm sure we have, and I'm sorry, I can't think of it specifically right now, but I mean, have we ever had an episode that kind of took that long to get to what was advertised?
I guess not.
Okay, so let's just start off. We are still at the Pokemon Center. Ash, after he's abusive, he has to love bomb, right? And so he has to show like he's a caring and,
oh my God.
Loving trainer. And so
Jesus.
I'm gonna turn the screws on Ash, like he deserves it.
Okay.
He is sleeping in the lobby, unlike Max, May, and Brock, who were sleeping in the room in the bunk beds and stuff. He was still in his clothes. He was sleeping all night in the lobby with a blanket. And they walk out and they're like, what the hell are you doing out here? Like, just sleeping like that. And he's like, well, I had to be close by, you know, to check up on Talo and Trico, which coincidentally have been fully healed by Nurse Joy and are ready to go back with him.
It still bothers me that we have no idea what Nurse Joy does.
Like, her function or...
Yeah, like, it seems like she, like, puts them on a little thing, a slab.
A slab. Come into the lab. See what's on the slab.
And they get a good night's rest and they're better the next day. Like, that seems like she's all she does.
I mean, I guess she's kind of like the charge nurse, right? I mean, she kind of just like oversees the administration of whatever is happening. The IV fluids. I don't know. Like, I don't know. She's just all there. Right. Anyway, so Ash, continuing to be terrible, says specifically, and I quote, hey, you guys, I'm sorry that you got hurt. Not, hey, you guys, I'm really sorry I pushed you so hard and it was my fault that this happened. I'll never let it happen again. No, no, I'm sorry that you got hurt. It's giving you made me do this vibes. So I hate this passive bullshit language that absolves him of wrongdoing because he's absolutely responsible as the trainer. And that is going to be my issue with this episode. And if you can already tell who my MVP and LVP is going to be, well, definitely LVP. It's Ash. Hopefully I can be first. I'm just going to go ahead and get that out of the way.
We'll find out.
So at breakfast, they're eating. Max somehow, God knows how, runs up and he's like, I got the deets from Nurse Joy. And basically says, hey, Steven's on the island. and he's doing top secret research. So Joy is also apparently an unapologetic gossip monger. Because
with a small child.
With a with just this random kid. Like, it's like, oh yeah, and by the way, Steven's here and he's doing top secret research I'm not supposed to tell anyone about. How does Joy know this, by the way?
Well, presumably Steven's gone to the Pokemon Center.
Damn, can't trust a Nurse Joy, apparently.
Okay, there's either two options here. One is either Nurse Joy is, like, totally crushing on Steven and is, like, just bursting to talk about him with anyone.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Option two is she's sending every trainer to go find Steven. Because she, I don't know, go see the rare sighting of Steven Stone.
Steven on display. He's in a place nearby, apparently, called Granite Cave. So, naturally, upon learning this, they decide that they are going to go bother him because the plot dictates that, apparently.
That's what we do. We bother people.
Yeah. Poor Steven has no idea what's coming his way.
His father sicked these kids on him in the first place, just saying.
That's true.
Ooh, imagine growing up with Mr. Stone as your father.
No wonder Steven's like, I gotta get the hell out. And he's in a cave.
I gotta go into a cave somewhere.
Yeah. Okay, so on their way, though, they encounter the obvious James, and he is disguised as an oldster. And he's like, hey there, kiddos. I know of a prime fishing spot to fish. So he's like, take my fishing rods and go at it. Whatever.
Take my old rod.
Take my rod. It's dangerous to go alone. Take this. So they end up doing some fishing, and Ash basically gets bullied into it because they're like, Ash, remember what Brawly was talking about, like playing in nature and shit is like training.
At least he's consistently being an obstinate little prick.
Ash?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's the Ash way.
He's not magically learning his lesson. He's just being a dick this week.
So they have to stop, and they're going to do some fishing, and surprisingly enough, they're doing pretty well. They're getting a lot of activity on the line. So first up is May. She ends up catching an octillery. And they're like, okay, well, it's not enough to just like pull it out of the water. You have to battle it.
Ooh, May with an octillery. I do not like that.
Mm-mm. Thankfully for May, it gets away. But unfortunately for Max, it tries to kill him on the way. So Ash is next. He gets a bite and ends up hooking a corefish.
Were you so excited?
I was so excited. I'm sorry. I know I was completely jumping the shark here and misremembering. I thought, spoiler alert, I thought this was it.
Yep.
I thought this was the corefish. It was not.
It's like they know we're watching this and they're like, guess what, guys?
I mean, is it really spoilers? 20 years later, we all know Ash ends up with one.
I really hope corefish lives up to our high standards, because at this point we've hyped it up way too much.
I know. Is this a product of us like just having rose-colored glasses and misremembering stuff, or is it like gonna be as cool as we remember? Kind of like Trico, which hasn't done jack shit so far.
No, Trico's been pitiful.
I know. It's so sad. Corefish, this is not the corefish, but it is a corefish, and it pinches Max in the butt, crab hammers Pikachu, and gets away. So goodbye, corefish.
Smack that ass like a drum and get your way out of there.
Yeah. Exactly that. We will see you later. Meanwhile, in the Magikarp sub, Jessie is laying out her master plan to catch the Twerps and Pikachu, which involves pulling Ash and friends into the water when they hook their lines, which will cause their Pokeballs to fall out of their pockets so they can scoop them up in a net. Yes, that's ingenious, absolutely.
Plan of the year.
Plan of the century. So they hook the Twerps, but unfortunately the Magikarp sub is a rusting pile of junk, so the petals break off and they cannot catch them. Somehow, I guess they end up confronting the Twerps on land, and May and Jessie end up in a which Wurmple is better pissing contest. So we are finally at the Wurmple of it all. Max is like, okay, you know what? I'm sick of this. This is not getting anywhere. I can definitively tell you who is the better Wurmple. Put your Wurmples on the ground.
I thought that was kind of funny how it went from like, we're going to battle now, to May just whips out her Wurmple and is like, look at my Wurmple. And just like, no, look at my Wurmple. And they get into like a my kid better than your kid argument. The battling goes completely away for a hot minute.
My Wurmple is a perfect specimen of a Wurmple.
I just love it when the Twerps and Team Rocket dynamic, it goes from, like, we're mortal enemies, to them just, like, bickering.
I know. Or,
like, you know, like,
like an old married couple. It's wonderful. Max is like, okay, I'm going to do my Wurmple analysis. So he breaks out his tape measure and the magnifying glass, and he's like, you know what? I've determined that both Wurmple are literally exactly identical, down to the last centimeter.
Last little gross little hair fur.
Hair fur.
Caterpillars are gross. I hate them.
They're completely identical. So they decide, okay, well, the only way to settle it is by an actual battle. But there's some buffoonery that happens, and Meowth ends up, like, rolling into the Wurmples like a bowling ball, and they get knocked around. So, of course, you know what's going to happen next. May grabs a Wurmple, Jesse grabs a Wurmple, and they get away. But May has that intuition, that Wurmple intuition, and she's like, something is horribly wrong. This is not my Wurmple.
I would love to know what subconsciously she was sensing when she looked at that thing. And she was like, nope.
I know. She was like looking into its like black soulless eye. And she was like, no, that's not my Wurmple. I don't know. I think it's kind of just a sense.
You can tell your dog apart from very similar looking dogs.
Yeah. She's got that pet owner intuition, I guess. Just that connection with the Wurmple. Back in the woods where Team Rocket is, Jesse does not have that same intuition at all. She's completely oblivious and is very adamant, actually, that this is her Wurmple.
Prime Jesse is a dumbass.
I know. She's so dumb. God. Meowth is very incredulous, and he's like, well, let me just, like, ask it. Like, who's your trainer? And apparently Wurmple does not answer because it's so freaking dumb as a bag of rocks that it's like, I'm hungry.
We need to keep that in mind for Unify. Like, we need to remember this personality.
Wurmple, it's like brain damage or something. I don't know. It's completely ridiculous. But Brock and Max and them are like, okay, obviously, I know your intuition's saying one thing, but there's an easy way to find out if this is yours or not. And it's the obvious, recall it to the Pokeball trick. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, then you know for sure. And, well, lo and behold, it does not work. So she was right the whole time. They shouldn't have doubted her.
Pokeball mechanics.
Pokeball mechanics.
The beam hits it and it just kind of stops.
It doesn't do anything. I guess it's kind of one of those, like, you know when you have, like, a microchip-enabled, like, cat or dog door? Like, it only opens up for that pet or something?
I did not know that existed, but I love that.
Yeah, apparently. I think it's, like,
expensive. I'm not sure how reliable that is.
I don't either.
That's what always confused me about pet doors, is how do you stop, like, raccoons and shit from getting in?
Well, it's supposed to be, like, that's one of the ways it's supposed to work. It's, like, if it scans the microchip, it unlocks and they can, like, open it, but...
Or just, like, traditionally.
You don't.
Aren't you just, like, that's inviting how, like... bugs and rats and all sorts of vermin?
That's why they get in, and then people, like, walk downstairs and there's, like, a raccoon in their kitchen or something.
Ugh.
Anyway, back at Team Rocket, it keeps going back and forth. We get this backstory in Jessie's, like, fanfiction reality where she met Wurmple. And she's like, there's no way I could mistake my Wurmple for any other Wurmple because I remember the day we met on Starlight Hill. And James and Meowth are like, what the fuck is Starlight Hill? I've never heard of that.
Jessie's great.
I know. What the fuck?
The fact that Jessie lives in, like, a different plane of reality from everyone else.
I'm sorry. I think it was Starlit Hill. She's like, I was on Starlit Hill, and there, across the Rose Garden, you were there, and I was looking beautiful as always. Gosh, she's so crazy. I love her. So they finally track down Team Rocket, and they're like, oh my god, you have my Wurmple, and I have your Wurmple, so let's just give the Wurmples back. And to be quite honest with you, I hated the way they approached this.
I would have taken that Pokeball and shot it at Jessie.
I know!
The second I saw her.
I'm like, May, what the hell are you doing, girlfriend? Like, she walks up to Jesse and she's like, okay, let's trade. I'm like, there's nothing to trade. There wasn't a trade. Like, there was no official, like, anything that happened. Just fucking recall your Pokemon. So, of course, Jesse walks up and they're kind of, like, in this little standoff. And she's like, okay, on two, we'll just do the handoff. And, of course, when May goes to hand her the Wurmple, she takes both and runs off, which... classic. As they're getting away, we do get a boss fantasy about Giovanni and a Wurmple, which what do we think about this?
These are the boss fantasies that I don't like, which no. are the rather pedestrian, small scale boss fantasies where nothing. I mean, the fact that Meowth's logic is we need to get this Wurmple to the boss because it'll be able to provide some thread for Giovanni to sew his loose button back onto his pajama shirt.
Lame.
I mean, that's kind of funny, but it's not... I'm not impressed. Mm.
I think we talked about this in the first Wurmple episode that we had, like, what a boss fantasy with it would be, and I still stand by my, like, he should be in his little, like, thong, and Wurmple should be, like, spinning him a silken robe or something, like...
Well, you were close.
This was super lame. He was, like, in bed, and he's like, oh, my button, like, came off of my PJ shirt, my frumpy PJs, and I have to sew my button back on, like...
I will admit, I really need to learn how to sew buttons back on the shirts and stuff. That's just a skill I need to learn.
Sure. I mean, everybody could do with learning how to do basic, like, garment repair, but... My take on it is, if we're going to get a boss fantasy, give me that salacious shit. I don't know.
Okay, I like the salacious shit, of course, but I also appreciate when it's, like, silly.
This wasn't, I mean, they could have leaned into
this. No, this was not silly. They didn't go far enough with the silliness.
They didn't do enough of anything either way, so it was a miss. James, of course, is the only one incredulous about this whole thing. He's like, I don't really think Giovanni would give a fuck about this, but whatever, you do you, go off, king. I don't know.
Is James the most sane of the three of them?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I am gonna say that is the case.
Okay.
James is crazy in his own way, but I think he has enough moments of clarity to balance out, like, the other two, so.
I feel like he occasionally will go through, like, a power trip or something.
Sure.
But for the most part, he's more subdued.
I am a flaming Moltres.
Well, yes, that's the infamous example.
When he's on that bottle cap, like, high, then he's a little crazy, but he's been kind of down to earth recently, so. Regardless, they defeat Team Rocket, and honestly, I'm sorry, guys, I glossed over how they did that. Who cares?
After you've seen them beat Team Rocket 300 times, it doesn't matter anymore. Who cares?
They blast off again. May gets her Wurmple back. Great. Congratulations. And she knows in her heart this is her Wurmple, and everything's right in the world, so.
Oh.
Yes.
I did have a note, actually. Even though you'd think this would be a May-focused episode, it's really an Ash episode. Because he's the one who gets to redeem himself with Trico and Talo. And he's the one who battles Team Rocket. And he's, like, not abusing them anymore. So.
Oh, right. I forgot he called both of them
little
out.
Little button on that. Yeah.
Don't forget, he hasn't apologized. So he is still wrong.
And he never will.
And he never will. And so for that, he'll always be wrong. And I want everybody to keep that in the back of their minds. There you go.
Flip the coin.
Flippin'.
Ooh, that was a wild one. Ooh, I go first again.
Are you sure? I always have to trust Austin's word. Okay, fine.
MVP goes to... Oof. Should I give it to Jesse or Maze Wurmple?
I don't know. I can't decide.
I'm going to give it to Wurmple. Maze Wurmple, specifically, because Alex is giving me a dirty look. I don't know what
I'm not.
That's about.
I'm not. I was just giving a okay kind of look.
Because it being so stupid that it doesn't know who its own trainer is, I thought was pretty funny. That's about it. I don't know. I'm spreading the love.
That's valid. Okay.
LVP, I will give it to Ash because
he deserves it. Double Ash.
Yep. And my quote. Do I have any quotes?
Oh my god. Oh. There was the one.
Oh, okay. I think we should just discuss this separately.
Should be a quote.
Okay, we cannot forget how wild of a time the 2000s were, you guys. Let's just say it. Jesse says, abandon ship. James says, am I a sissy if I don't? Meow says, that ship's already sailed. And I was like, whoa.
The way I covered my mouth, like, when he said that, I was like, what the fuck? And then I, like, went back because I was like, they didn't just do that joke, did they? They did not. What? No.
Like, it's not, like, the most obscene thing in the world, but it's pretty shocking. For, like, yeah, it's pretty...
Yeah.
That is not the kind of language and tone that this anime dub usually takes.
I mean, it's just not. Don't forget, like, okay, there was the played backwards Leo Burnett as the devil, which, hilarious.
True. This felt like an alternate take.
I know. This was like the B-roll. Like, this was not... I can't believe they
let the regular dialogue
get away with that. Okay.
Oof. The sexism and the homophobia are real, y'all. Like, I think,
didn't we talk about that? Maybe we did it off pod. Maybe we did it on. But the way they used to joke about that kind of stuff in, like, 90s sitcoms.
I mean, they still do to an extent, but it used to be... All the time. Extremely prevalent for many, many days. Like, that rampant. Was the go-to joke.
Yeah.
We experienced a very... And it's not like it happened passively. People fought for this. But we experienced a lot of social change very quickly. And I would argue what we are now is in the backlash phase.
Yeah.
Which hopefully will be finished very soon. But It's the journey.
It is. Anyway, I just, that was something.
That's why it's Wrath Month, you guys. Okay. So my real quote, I'm going to take the good one. It's when Jesse and May are arguing over their wormholes. Yeah, sorry, Alex. Jesse says, anyone can see that my wormhole's far better looking. May says, well, my wormhole is a lot smarter than yours. Jesse says, my wormhole's attending night school to get its PhD.
To be fair to Jesse, it does seem right. Like her, yeah, her fucking wormhole is way smarter. She has the smarter one.
It's just kind of cool and calm.
I know, her wormhole's like pretty just chill, and May's is like insane. It has zero cognitive ability whatsoever.
I'm looking forward to Dustock's PhD. I think that'll be a fun spinoff.
I know. Okay, I completely forget. I do remember Dustock's a little bit more than I remember Beautifly, but I cannot remember Beautifly's personality. So like you said before, let's...
It doesn't have one.
It's just like a blank nothing? Okay.
It's just a butterfly. Like, we'll see. Maybe I'm wrong. We'll find out.
So maybe it's still in keeping with the theme of like no thoughts, just butterfly. I don't know. Dustox has a little bit more going for it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good picks, Austin.
Okay, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I bet not only were you surprised that Corphish showed up and then was not captured.
I was shocked.
Were you surprised when the Wurmples did not evolve in this episode?
I was. I was expecting at least the Cascoon Silcoon thing of it all, but I think we get that like later, right?
I mean, of course it happens. It's happening soon, but
yeah.
How weird that did not happen in this episode.
I mean, I guess for the purposes of not being able to tell them apart, although I do feel like I distinctly remember Jesse not being able to tell Cascoon is different.
We'll get there.
Okay, I don't want to get ahead of myself. But, okay, let's see, for my MVP, you know what, I'm going to give it to Corphish.
Oh, the wild Corphish.
The wild Corphish, because actually this thing did pretty well against, like, Pikachu and Treecko. Like, it got away, and we got a little taste of what Ash is going to, you know, be in for. Corphish is an oddball, but I like it a lot. My LVP is going to be, you know what? I'm going to give it to Nurse Joy.
Oh!
Nurse Joy, oh, yeah, yeah. For being a freaking gossip and being like, oh my god, Steven said not to tell anybody, but he's in a secret cave doing secret research and not to bother him, but he's in Granite Cave. You should go find him.
Fucking I like your Nurse Joy.
You know what? I'm gonna go with the idea like you posited in the beginning where she's like just waiting for anybody to gush about the handsome and wonderful Steven Stone. So she's like, oh my god, there's this guy. And she can't help herself.
Oof, I hope you are ready for Steven.
My body is ready. Okay, my quote, because Austin took the best one. This is where, at the beginning, where they're going fishing, and Max is being a little know-it-all like he is, and he says, now, May, you gotta hold the line still, and when you feel it, the first tug, don't just pull it out, okay? And May says, don't tell me what to do, Max. I'm older, and I know how to fish, thank you. And Max says, yeah, but this is real fishing, not pretend fishing with your dolls. And May's like, same idea. I thought that was cute. They're so, like, I love their stupid sibling bickering back and forth.
It's shockingly realistic.
It is. Somebody who wrote this had a sibling, for sure.
Every little bit of that exchange from him, he's doing that thing that little kids do, which is tell you stuff that they know. And then she's like, oh, don't mansplain to me.
Don't maxplain.
Ah! So after his maxplaining, he's like, oh, so now we're fighting? Okay, well, you're a stupid girl. And she's like, so what if I'm a girl? Like, it's very grounded.
Just, I hope they kind of keep that. I have a feeling it'll probably taper off a little bit, but I can at least appreciate it in the beginning for as long as we have it. All right, well, that is it for the Wurmple episode. Any final thoughts on either one before we figure out what we're doing next week?
Would you love me if I was the Wurmple?
Sure, Austin. Sure, I would love you. If you were the smarter Wurmple, not May's, like,
oh, okay.
Empty-headed Wurmple.
All right. So if I was smart, you would love me. Got
it. Yes, got it.
Next week, we are doing A Whole Lot of Trouble, which is like H-O-L-E, hole.
A hole? Okay.
Yeah, that's my favorite porno movie, by the way. And ooh, we are doing Gone. Wow. You always do that.
I know. What and else we are doing? To
do? And we are also watching Gone Corphishin'.
Gone Corphishin'. Okay, so is that the fucking episode? Okay. Or not?
Well, the episode after that is also a Corphish title. Shit. So God knows
What? That's like way so more corfish. Corfish overload. Is this like, it kind of reminds me of like Red Lobster's like endless shrimp.
Oh, did I tell you I bought the cheddar biscuits?
The cheddar biscuits. Oh, I made Red Lobster cheddar biscuits myself the other day. I had the mix.
Oh.
I know. You already bought them like pre-made biscuits?
Yeah, but they upset my stomach. Oh, it was a mistake.
I'm sorry.
Never doing that again. Okay, bye.
R.I.P. Red Lobster. Private equity killed them. Okay, well, that sounds really fun. Look forward to that, as always. If you want to get in touch with us, leave us some comments. We would love to hear from you. You can always reach out to us at our Gmail, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Again, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Or you can reach out to us on our social media. We have a blue sky at @outofthedryingpan. Austin posts some really fun stuff, so follow us over there. We also have an Instagram, the same handle, @outofthedryingpan. You can follow us there as well. And you can always leave us a 5-star rating. It really helps us out. We'd really appreciate it. And if you want to support us, if you like what we do, you can check out our Patreon. The link is in the description. We have all kinds of cool bonus content, so go ahead and check that out. We'd really appreciate it. And as always, we want to say thank you guys so much for listening, and we will see you next week as the journey continues.